Asalakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Haiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We need the Srimad Bhagavatam. There. Canto 4, chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text 21. Na accepts Kumanishinam, a persons with a dirty heart. Saha he ijam offering Hari the Supreme Lord, Adana, of those who have no material possessions, Atmadana, simply dependent on the Lord, Priya, who is dear, Rasagya, who accepts the essence of life, Shruta, education, Dana, wealth. Kula, aristocracy. Karmanam, a fruit of activities. Madai, by pride. Yea, all those who. Vidadati, perform. Papam, disgrace, akinchaneshu, without material possessions, satsu, unto the devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. But even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, it's like little smoke here. Where is the smoke from? The incense? Okay. Are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. Are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. But even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels that he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are the most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of his devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni, offended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarsan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee. The text again. Na bhajati kumanishinam saijam hariradhanatma dhanapriyorasagya shutadana ghula karmanam mandarye viriti papam akinchaneshu satsu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride the devotees. But even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. Many points are covered in this particular verse. You may be remembering the verse by Queen Kunti where she says, Vipadakshantu takshasva tat-tatra jigat-kuro bhavato darshanam nyatsyat apuna bhavadarshanam. That I wish that we can see these calamities again and again, because whenever we are in a calamitous situation, we naturally think of you, and by thinking about you, we'll no longer see the repetition of birth and death. And then she says, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribira Edamanak Madak Puman Naivahat Yavudatum Vai Twam Akinshana Gochara. Now those who are too proud, so this pride, Krishna has said elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Amadi Dvam Adambi Dvam Ahingsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Pasanam Socham Stiryam Atma Vinigraha. That if we're proud of our, which is due to illusion. In other words, considering that we're not the body, which is a good possibility, because as I always mention, which body are we? The five-year-old body? Were we that body? Are we this body? Will we be the old body? Sometimes there's one religious group, they have a picture of heaven, and in that heaven, everyone is there. Mom is there and dad is there. They're going to be eternally old in their old body. And you're there, you're eternally youthful in your body. And your dog and cat are there. Everyone's there. The children are there. They're eternally children. And Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the head of the table. And everyone's very happy except for the poor turkey. He's there eternally, but he has a knife in his back. So the conception is that, which body are we? Everyone wants to think that they're their youthful body. But actually, we've had so many bodies. So which body are we? Which body are we proud of? Were we proud of the little baby body, or like our parents, they were very proud? Oh, look at that cute little kid. Oh, he's so cute. And they grew up, he was a monster. So which is he, the monster or the cute little kid? Or maybe he was a failure in public, in first grade, everyone gave him up, but then he became, somehow or another, a millionaire. Now everyone wants to associate with him. So which is he, the failure in the first grade kid class, or is he the millionaire? So the body's always changing, but inside is that soul who's identifying himself with so many varieties of bodies. Only due to illusion, we're proud of something, but then again, we're not going to have it for very long, nor are we that thing. If we were imagining ourselves be Napoleon, thinking ourselves that we've conquered the whole Europe, no one would believe us, but if we believed it, then that's called illusion. Because we're not Napoleon, but neither were this body either. So whatever quality, whatever activity the body is performing, it has nothing really to do with us directly. It's all product of the mode of nature, modes of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma karta hamiti manite. That bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the foolish living entity thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the modes. Therefore, whatever body we have, if it's not a very good body, that's not us. And if we have a very nice body, that's also not us. Of course, we get a relatively nice body or relatively not so nice body according to our activity. So the soul must be doing something, but what is he doing? According to Bhagavad Gita, the soul is simply desiring. But his desires are not independent either. That when he associates with the mode of ignorance, then he desires in the mode of ignorance. When he associates with the mode of passion, in other words, within his mind will arise certain desires. And when he's associating with the mode of ignorance, he becomes attached to those desires. Or as Prabhupada writes in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the soul is conditioned by the subtle material desires. We have the capacity to desire, but when we dovetail our desires with our mental desires that are rising, then we become conditioned by them. We get the results of that attachment to the mental desires, which are products of our past activities and desires. Then we become entangled in them. But if we are fortunate enough, those who are a little fortunate, they get to associate with persons who are more elevated than them, and then they get higher desires. And if they're very fortunate, they get to associate with the devotees and then get the perfect desires of wanting to serve Krishna. Due to association, by hearing, by inquiring, by understanding, we dovetail our desires with superior desires or inferior desires. But those who are in illusion, who are identifying with the body, then even they get very elevated desires in the material aspect, but due to the pride that arises from that desire, as mentioned here, or that situation, one will not be able to chant Krishna's name very feelingly. There are many examples in the Krishna book of persons who became proud. Just like there was the demigods, Kuvera and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera. Kuvara and Manigriva, and the sons of Kuvera. They had very beautiful demigod bodies, but due to pride, they didn't care to follow the Vedic instructions. Instead, they became hippies, more or less. And the result is that they got cursed by Narada Muni and had to stand as trees. Or even Narada Muni is an example. In his previous life, he was a beautiful demigod, but he became attracted to the association of the ladies in the heavenly planet, and they began to, instead of attending the Sankirtan of the other demigods, they started to listen to rock music together. And so they got cursed, and they wound, he got cursed, and he wound up as a son of a Shudrani. Fortunately, because of his, he was Narada Muni, he got the chance to associate with the Bhaktivedantas and take up the path of devotional service again. And others also, just like one time, the residents of Vrindavan, they went to Kasi in order to worship Lord Shiva. And when they went to Lord Shiva's place to worship, I don't know if it's Kasi, but it was some place where they were worshiping Lord Shiva, then at that time in the night, one snake was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And although all the coward men, they came and they were beating him with logs and fire and trying to stop him from swallowing Nanda Maharaj, finally Nanda Maharaj was calling out for Krishna, and Krishna came and touched the snake with his lotus foot, and the snake turned into a beautiful demigod. And he explained that in his previous life as a demigod, because he was so beautiful, he laughed at Astavakra, one sage, because he was curved in so many different places, and he was cursed to become a snake. And then he pleaded, please don't do this to me. So then he got the benediction that when Krishna comes and touches him with his lotus foot, he'd be relieved of the curse. In other words, even amongst the demigods, we find Indra sometimes becoming proud and doing things which were not very auspicious, and he gets the reaction. So what to speak of ourselves? As soon as we look in the mirror and we think, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And immediately the mirror answers back that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. But if we're not the body, we're not the doer of the activities, then why should we identify ourselves as being this or that, either good or bad? During the good times, we think, oh, it's not so bad to be in Maya. And then when we're in bad times, we think, oh, it's horrible to be in Maya. Let me get out of Maya. And then when it gets, our distress is a little relieved, we think, well, it wasn't so bad. I mean, there are good times, there are bad times, you know. Many times we find that in Prabhupada's early preaching, he'd be talking to people and they'd start challenging Prabhupada. How can you say I'm going to die? People are actually in this mood that we're Americans, we don't die. Maybe people from other countries, they die, but Americans don't die. They're actually in this mood that old age, disease, and death, they're not going to affect us because we're of a new generation. So this is called pramatak. As it is said by Maharaj Rishabh Dev, nunam pramatak kuru te vikarama. Nunam, indeed, pramatak. People have become mad. Why? Because of vikarma, becoming attached to vikarma, their consciousness has become bewildered. And the first bewilderment is this pride. And the pride is caused by illusion of identifying with this body. And not only amongst the human beings, but even amongst the demigods. What to speak of the lower species of life? Everyone in this world identifies with their body, and they think that their body is something special. Every country you go to, people have some special pride. If they're not materially advanced, then they have some pride that at least they're cultured or they have some ancient knowledge. They're all proud of something about the place of their birth. Ijaji, as this word is Ijam. Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavad Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavad Kinchana. Actually, that's Yayatma Buddhi Kunape Tri Daduke Sadi Kalatradishu Bhoma Ijaji. So the Ijaji, they're worshipping their Bhoma, their land of birth, as if this land is something sacred because we took birth there. Therefore, it's not just America, it's not just Texas, it's not just Dallas, but it's my neighborhood. That's where I grew up. This is something special. And those who grew up near me They're my very special relationships. There's something special about us. We've touched the that land has become sacred because we've touched it during our early pastimes. This is certainly Bhoma Ijaji. But this Krishna concludes this identification with the body and even with the land of birth, even with our relatives, he concludes that this is the same mentality as Gokara, Go and Kara, the cow and the ass. He doesn't think it's a very highly elevated mentality or something desirable to cultivate. That is something to get free from. Unfortunately, it says that people go to the holy places and they're not really interested in hearing the philosophy, because if we hear this philosophy too carefully, our material life will be spoiled. Our enthusiasm to be happy in this material world will diminish. And we'll wind up, as it says here, maybe poverty-stricken, like a beggar. We'll have to go door-to-door selling books or something to make a living. So people are not very much interested. They're afraid of hearing this philosophy too closely, because if their illusions are dispelled, their enthusiasm will also be diminished, for material life at least. Therefore, Rupa Goswami advises one of his friends, don't go to this place near Vangsivat, because there this boy is playing on his flute, and his body is blackish complexion, the moonlight's lighting it up, and he's playing on the flute, and it's enchanting everyone. So if you go there, you'll lose your attraction for society, friendship, and love. So don't go there, please. You'll fall out of Maya. But of course, here it's mentioning that if we become attracted to Krishna and attracted to the process of serving Krishna, and we actually get free from this tendency of misidentifying ourselves with our wealth, our knowledge, or whatever else we have, by using it in Krishna's service. This idea that it's all Krishna's, but I don't give anything to Krishna. It's all just Krishna's. We know everything. I know everything is Krishna. But that's not enough to know everything is Krishna's. Prabhupada gives the example that one man is walking with puffed rice on his way to sell it. And suddenly a big wind comes and blows all the puffed rice away. And he goes, Govinda Bhog. He's offering it to Govinda. Because it's all being taken away from him. Now it's Govinda's. But when it was in his possession, it was his. So we may say, yes, I have no problem. It all belongs to Krishna, but I don't give anything to Krishna's service. Prabhupada also gives the example that old men, they retire, very wealthy men, and they go to Vrindavan. And they leave all their wealth with their children and their wife. And they say, here, Krishna, take my dead body. They don't want to give Krishna their wealth. They give it to their family, but they want to give Krishna something that their dead body. So Krishna is not going to accept that. One has to associate with the sages. One has to not only hear that everything belongs to Krishna, but we have to develop a plan of utilizing things in Krishna's service also. Then it says here that why is it that we can't hear very well the sages? Because subtly or grossly, we deride them. We think all these poor sages, they couldn't make it in the material world, therefore they became sages. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī advises us, Krishneti yasigiri tammana sedriyeta dikshasti chat praniti bhishta bhajantam isham shushu shaya chabhajanam ananya anya indati sunya ridyam itsita sangalabhya. He said that one should mentally honor the devotees who chant the holy name of Krishna. And that one should cooperate with the devotees who are engaged in devotional service and are under the guidance of a devotee. And one should faithfully serve that pure devotee who's engaged in unalloyed devotional service and whose heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. In other words, this identification with the soul, with the body, And therefore, deriding someone who's engaged in devotional service has missed the point. Anyone who's engaged in devotional service is respectable because they are at least on the right path. They may not be perfect in that execution of that path, but at least they're going in the right direction, and therefore they become to some degree dear to Krishna. Krishna appreciates whatever whatever service they can render. He's known as Adosha Darshi. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was asking permission to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he went to the temple of Madan Mohan, and there was one Prajari, and one of his qualifications was that he was a Dosha Darshi. He only saw the good qualities in the devotees, he didn't see their defects. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should end our discrimination, but we should discriminate according to how we're asked to discriminate, not according to how our mind's demanding that we discriminate. So that authorized discrimination is explained as, well, many different levels of discrimination, but one of them is that Ishvaretaradineshu Balisheshu Dvitsatsucha Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yat Kuroti Samadhimaha. So we have to learn to see Krishna as the object of our love, knowing well that whatever material benediction he may give us, if we demand it, it may not actually be really a benediction. There's a story of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So the sages were wondering, why is it that Lord Shiva, he lives underneath a tree with his wife? Imagine what his wife is thinking. She has to stand underneath this tree. And he gives his, whenever a devotee approaches him, he gives him unlimited benediction, material benediction. And Lord Vishnu, he lives in opulent palaces made out of chintamani. And when the devotees approach him, sometimes he takes everything away from them. Yasyasti bhaktira bhagavata or yasya nugurahami karishe tadanam shanai. Sometimes they come to him and Krishna takes everything away. So why is that? And then he narrated the story of Rikasura, how Rikasura had approached Narada Muni. He inquired from him which is the best demigod to worship, or which is the best person to worship, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. So Narada Muni, knowing his mentality, advised him to worship Lord Shiva. He went through great austerity of cutting his flesh from his own body and throwing it into the fire. He did this for some time, and then he decided to cut off, since Lord Shiva didn't appear, he decided to cut off his own head and throw it into the fire. So that's quite an austerity. Taking your hair on your hand and holding a knife and then cutting your head off, and hopefully you have enough strength left, you can throw it into the fire as your last offering. Chop, swaha. So he's just about to do it, but Lord Shiva, out of compassion, appeared from the fire, touched him, freed him from all his wounds, and then asked him, what benediction do you want? Why are you so much intent in killing yourself for a benediction? And of course, Rikasura, being a demon, he asked for the benediction that whosoever head he touched would immediately crack into thousands of pieces. So Lord Shiva, knowing that this is a demon, it's not a good idea to offer demons benedictions, but because he's Ashutosha, he wants to get rid of them as quickly as possible. He doesn't want to be disturbed associating with these demons, so he gives them benedictions very easily. He gave the benediction, you know. And then the demon immediately approached Lord Shiva in order to touch his head, kill him, and then steal Gauri, his wife. So Lord Shiva became afraid and took off into outer space with the demon Vrikasura right behind him, trying to catch up to him. He went to all the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, he went to Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, asking for protection, but none of the demigods could give him protection. Therefore, he went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu resides, and Lord Vishnu, knowing what was happening, took the dress, the form and the dress of a brahmachari, with a devotee of Lord Shiva,
with rudraksha beads, the deer skin, matted hair, danda. And Lord Shiva ran past Lord Vishnu in that form, and then Vrikasura, chasing him, was running past Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, "Stop, O son of Shukuni. Shukini. Why are you running so fast? Don't you realize that if you run so fast, you're going to wear your body out? And if you wear your body out, how will you be able to fulfill the desires of your mind?" So the demon thought, "Well, he knows my father. He must be a friend of the family. And he's giving me advice about my body. Therefore, he must be, it's important to maintain the body. Therefore, he thought, I should listen to him." So he stopped for a moment and said, "Yes, you know some exercises I can do?" And Lord Vishnu said, "Well, you know, it's important to take care of the body. But what are you doing? Tell me confidentially why you're running so fast, and maybe I can give you some good advice." So Vrikasura explained the situation, how he had gotten the benediction from Lord Shiva, and he was trying to test it out. And Lord Vishnu said, "Oh, forget it. Don't you realize that Lord Shiva had a fight with his father-in-law, Daksha, and after that he was cursed by Daksha, and now he's been ghostly haunted, and he's going all over the universe handing out false benedictions. It's a counterfeit benediction. You don't believe it works, do you? So my advice is that you test out the benediction in your own head. And if it doesn't work, you should go and kill that rascal, Lord Shiva, for handing out false benedictions all over the universe." Due to the superior illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Vrikasura forgot Lord Shiva's position and immediately touched his head with his hand, and it cracked into thousands of pieces. And needless to say, he was dead. In other words, the benediction he got from Lord Shiva was actually not a benediction. Ultimately, it's destroyed him. There are many examples in the 10th canto of personalities who got benedictions from Lord Shiva, like Shutavan or Shravan, the son of the king of Kasi, who got a benediction of a demon who would destroy Dwarka. But the demon couldn't destroy Dwarka, therefore it came back and it destroyed Kasi, and it destroyed Shravan and all his assistants who had performed the sacrifice. So often, so-called material benedictions are actually not benedictions, but just deepen one's entanglement in the material energy. On the other hand, Lord Vishnu, he's very considerate. He only gives benedictions if it will actually be helpful for the devotee's progress. Therefore, he's careful because he actually has concern for the spiritual welfare of his followers. Sometimes it's seen that the devotees are poor. Even we find the example of Sudama. Sudama Vipra was so poor that he was, him and his wife were probably practically shivering due to lack of proper food. But that was because he was so detached that he was practically averse to material sense gratification. So Krishna didn't like that either. So he had his wife encourage him to go to Dwarka, and in his association in Dwarka with Lord Vishnu, he offered him some chip rice with Lord Krishna, and therefore Lord Krishna gave him more opulence in the kingdom of heaven, because he didn't want him to become too averse to material things either. He doesn't want his devotees to become attached nor averse. So sometimes he takes things away, and sometimes he gives his devotees more opulence in the kingdom of heaven. So he knew Sudama would utilize everything in Krishna's service. So though apparently he was in such an opulent position, but his consciousness of service to Krishna never changed in the slightest. Yudhisthira Maharaj, he wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, not because he wanted to appease the demigods, but he wanted to show the world that if you become a devotee of Lord Krishna, it's not that everything will necessarily be taken away, as people fear. That if you can utilize things properly in Krishna's service, then Krishna gives you all benediction. He only takes things away out of consideration that the devotee is misusing the opulence that's being given to him. And the whole idea is somehow or another to become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. to become attached to the idea, to the reality that we're nothing but Krishna's servants, and that in good position or bad position, so-called bad material position, or so-called good material position, one remains equally minded. Dukeshu vamanang mingnak, sukeshu vigatas priha, vitaraga vaya krodha, stitidhira muni uchite. That one who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, nor elated when there is happiness, who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. Or the more famous verse, tattenu kampam susimikshamano, punjana evatmakritam vipakam, ridvagvabhubdir vividanvamaste, jiveta yo bhukti sade sadayabhak. So this word is tat to those that Tat, they, them. Tat is an easy word to remember what it means, because if you just add an H to the tat, you get that, so you know it's that. Tat, te, nukam, anukampam. Anukampam means compassion. Su, sa, mikshamano. So su means properly or nicely. And su, sa, sama means equi-minded, balanced. So very nicely balanced. Iksha means to see. So seeing is a product of intelligence, and manaha, with the mind. So when we see properly and fully, completely, perfectly, we see with the mind. And what do we see? We see that ridvag, that tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana. Bunjana means to get the reactions of, to enjoy, so-called, or joy or suffer. Bunjana evatma, eva, certainly atma kritam. That due to the soul's own activities, kritam means his atma, the activities of the soul, he's enjoying suffering, whatever he's getting. When one sees that, that it's not Krishna's responsibilities, our responsibility. That we can come here and hear about Krishna, or we could go any, we can go anywhere we want to. Krishna is giving us that choice. Of course, we can't fly in the sky like a bird right now because we don't have a bird body. We have certain limitations due to the body, due to the karma that we have, how much, what kind of body we have, what our wealth is, what our influence is. But we have certain opportunities, choices. We don't have to stay here. We can get up and walk out. We could, you know, go watch the movies or do it, read a book or chant our rounds. We can do. We have so many possibilities. What we do is because we're utilizing our free will, but then we can't prevent the result. So one who sees that, now I've gotten some result, I have to tolerate it. And at the same time, ridvagvapudbir vidanam vidadanmanaste namaste. Rigvag, with the rid, with the heart. Vag, with the words. Vidadan namaste, vidadan, with the body. We offer respects to Krishna. We serve Krishna. Jivete yo bhukti sade sadayabhak. So, in spite of any circumstance, if we go on and try and serve Krishna, then the result is that we'll inherit our, the kingdom of God. That will become our rightful claim to go back to the spiritual world. We can't prevent our karma. That's already there. Of course, we may be able to minimize it to a certain extent, the reactions, by making the right choices now. We can go out and do sinful activities and therefore diminish our or put ourselves in more difficulty, or we can follow the principles of the mode of goodness and therefore get the maximum good effect of whatever our motive, our karma is. So it's not that it's completely, we have no choice, and we have no, our decisions now have no effect upon our immediate situation. But we can't suddenly get a body that's going to live forever. Even if we eat all the health foods, we do all the exercises, we do all the right things, still the body's not going to live forever. It has a certain duration at maximum, 100 years or maybe more. But whatever we've done in the past, whatever we're That's not the important thing. The important thing is we should do something for Krishna. We should do something in devotional service with our body, mind, and words. And in this way, jivete yo bhukti sadesa dayabha. But if we become proud of our material circumstance, Krishna gives us something, we misuse it for our sense gratification, then the material nature will chastise us to get rid of that pride. And if we're not intelligent enough to understand it, and we go on trying to enjoy the material world, trying to forget Krishna, that's one of the problems being a devotee. When you try to become a non-devotee, it's very difficult. You always remember that I can't really enjoy. Therefore, you have to get more deeply involved in sinful activities than even an ordinary person, just to help you forget, to cover you over more. An ordinary person doesn't know, he doesn't need so much covering. But a devotee who leaves, he needs so much covering. Otherwise, he keeps on feeling guilty. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm going to get a reaction. I can't enjoy. I couldn't make it in devotional service. And now I can't enjoy the material world. This is terrible. What to do? Maya says, just take more intoxication. Just engage in more sinful activity. And eventually, you'll get so dull, you won't be able to remember even what your name is. What to speak of what Krishna's name is. But then again, one will realize after some time, I'm really covered by the material nature. I'm not enjoying, despite I'm so covered, I can't enjoy in the spiritual world. Therefore, one usually crawls back to devotional service after some time. Maybe not in one lifetime, but after some time. But we should be careful. In other words, this basic philosophy that we're not the body is so valuable, even intellectually, to know. Therefore, we won't take credit for our position. We won't become enamored by our so-called opulence, which is actually insignificant. But we're enamored by it, by our wonderful name, form, quality, and pastimes. Instead, we'll try and become enamored with a real enamoring, name, form, quality, pastimes, the Krishna and his unalloyed devotees, and always give them respect, at least within the mind. Anyone who's even doing a little devotional service, because Krishna appreciates it, will also appreciate it. And we won't be very much inclined to criticize people just because they're external covering. And for those who are trying to sincerely follow the regulations of devotional service, then we should cooperate with them and associate with them under the guidance of the superior devotees who are more devotional than we are, less inclined to criticize others and more inclined to appreciate them for their service to Krishna. And they themselves are dedicating more of their energies in the service of Krishna, whether it's a lot of energy or little. Then we can learn from their example how we can dedicate fully our energies in Krishna's service, and therefore come to the actual platform of becoming aware of Krishna, conscious of Krishna, which is the actual success of life. Of course, then when we become successful like that, we'll see how insignificant we are. One will become humbler and humbler, and the perfection is to always feel oneself meek and humble. So if we don't want to feel meek and humble, if we want to be Americans and be proud of it, then this is not a very good process. It won't be appreciated by those who want to be proud of something. I made all the money myself and I'm proud of it. Proud of my family. Proud of my nation. Proud of everything about myself. I'm proud to be proud. Well, it won't be very helpful for this devotional service for that. Or just one more verse. As Krishna summarizes, idam adya maya labham imam prapse manoratam idam at stiyam api me bhavishati panardhanam aso maya hatakshatror hanishe chaparanapi ishvaraham aham bhogi siraham balavan suki ajo bi janavanasmi Konyo sti sadrishomaya yakshe dashami modisha ityagana vimohitaha. So much as wealth do I have today, and I'll gain more and more according to my schemes. So much is mine, and in the future I'll get more and more. I am the lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I will perform some sacrifice. I'm surrounded by rich aristocratic relatives. I'll perform some sacrifice. I will go to the heavenly planets and kiss the apsaras there. So Krishna says, in this way, these persons are deluded by ignorance. So we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, try to get fixed in this knowledge of who we really are, try to perform the practical activities of devotional service to the best of our ability, and then gradually we'll develop attraction for Krishna. And when we develop an awareness and attraction for Krishna, then we'll develop an affinity, an appreciation for what Krishna's activities are. There's Krishna tattva, there's bhakti tattva, and there's rasa tattva. But unless we understand Krishna tattva, then how will we understand bhakti tattva? How to worship Krishna? Unless we understand who Krishna is, why will we worship him? And unless we understand what devotional service is, where is there any question of coming for rasa tattva, actually relishing devotional service? First, we have to appreciate Krishna, engage in devotional service to the best of our ability, come to the advanced levels of devotional service, then rasa will be automatically revealed to us. But if we think this knowledge of I'm not this body, I have to be humble and meek and perform devotional service, this is for neophytes, I want the rasa. Of course, everyone wants rasa. That's what we hear. But we have to go through the process, and then we'll be able to obtain it in a real way, in a factual way, rather than an imaginative way. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Don't hate the sin, or the sinner hate the sin. So we have to be careful to discriminate between finding fault in the person and finding fault in the attachment that he had, or the karma that he has. But according to the verse, which I didn't really explain fully, then adineshu vitsatsu cha dvi satsu. Those who are envious of Krishna or Krishna's devotees, we should upeksha, we should avoid them. So we have to discriminate enough to find out what we have to avoid associating with. Now, if we have a responsibility, we're responsible to discriminate, then we have to discriminate people's qualities so they can be properly engaged. There may be, if one has a responsibility, discrimination may be there for the benefit of others, but not simply out of enviousness. That's the problem. We shouldn't be envious of others. Envious also means that this person, he has lower qualities than I have, therefore I feel myself superior to him, that I'm something special, he has to offer me all respect because I'm superior, and if he doesn't offer respect, then he's my enemy. So that has to be avoided. I find fault in others, it gives me excuse to feeling proud and thinking that I can demand respect from them. Instead, one should try to see the good qualities in others, why one should become appreciative of others. That's bhakti. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.